Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, the anointing of a new king. Of course, this would be King David. And Brother Marvin, would you mind opening with a word of prayer for the lesson, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for today, Lord. We pray your blessings on this service tonight, Heavenly Father. Bless each and every one that's come this way, Heavenly Father. Lord, we come praying for the sick, faith of God. Pray that you speak peace, Lord, to the lost, Lord. Save the lost, Heavenly Father. We do pray. Bless us all with us, Lord, and we will, Heavenly Father. Go with us through this night, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Okay. What we will do is start off with the reading of the sacred text. It is God's Word, and it is infallible, unchanging, inerrant. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. New paragraph. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse said to Shemaiah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him. For we will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. New paragraph. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. New paragraph. Therefore, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David said, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his precious words. Let's take a look at the lesson. There's a lot in this lesson. Let's go to the exposition verse by verse. Verse 1, how wilt thou mourn? How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? God called an end for the crying over Saul, because Saul had been justly rejected. It wasn't an arbitrary thing. It was justice being served. Because of Saul's self-will and self-sufficiency, because of that, there was to be no lingering. God had Saul's replacement already, even while Saul was still on the throne. I will send thee, quote, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. The choice was to be all by God's direction. In order for the proper leader to be chosen, God does the choosing. Verse 2, Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. This shows evidence that Saul's demeanor had obviously changed even toward Samuel. In other words, his attitude, how he thought, how he acted, what he did, his whole demeanor, his character had changed, and it's all negative. The act of anointing a new king would look like a traitorous action. If a new king was set up, then this would possibly incite or invite civil war or strife. The Lord gave a cover story for Samuel. Since the Lord gave the cover story, there's no lie whatsoever in this. He was to go for the open purpose of a sacrifice, but with the private purpose of anointing a new king. Let it be clear that this is not what has been called a half-truth. The Lord's not dealing with a half-truth here. Now, there's people who said this, you know, this is kind of like what they call situational ethics here. You can only tell part and partial of what the truth is and still be all right and not have a lie. But this is not a half-truth. The whole truth, including all the details of the event, just weren't given open to the public for public knowledge. The entire public really didn't need to know. They just knew about the sacrifice, which would involve them. The particular part about David being chosen, that involved a private family separate. So everybody else didn't really need to know that at this particular time anyway. This is quite different than a lie, and therefore not sin. So God did not tell Samuel to lie, and there was no sin involved. There may have been big trouble if the details of everything had been revealed. In other words, if Saul would have found out about it, then because of his jealous and evil, increasingly evil nature, he may have done bad things to the family of Jesse. Verse 3, I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Now no one but God knew who was to be the choice. This is an example of election. The one chosen had no knowledge of the call of God beforehand. Now that's true. The lost, when they're lost, a lot of times they have no inclination of being found. And one day, the Holy Spirit comes along and convicts them of what they're doing. Whereas before, they were happy little sinners doing their little thing, loving their sin. But when God's Spirit comes along, things change. When He starts to change the heart, He works a miracle. Then that is when the salvation takes place. So before, this is an example. The one chosen had no knowledge of the call of God ahead of time, beforehand. Verse 4. Upon arrival, the whole town trembled at Samuel's appearance. His sudden appearance may have shocked the town, since he was the judge of the entire country, the land. A judge usually meant that judgment was to be handed out. Out of fear, they ask, quote, "Comest thou peaceably?" Verse 5, peaceably was the answer. Samuel set aside the family of Jesse, who was a descendant of Boaz, and the Ruth family, somebody we are very familiar with from past readings. Though the whole town is involved in this event, it will come down to only one family being chosen, and actually come down even to one person. Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. There's a lot of people who hear the gospel, but there's very few that answer in obedience to the call. Alright. To sanctify, it simply means that the entire family was to wash themselves up and their clothes, and they were to abstain from anything unclean, and then they were to put on festive garments. We're familiar with that in the New Testament when they have a marriage feast and everybody puts on a special garment. Okay, verse 6, quote, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked upon Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, end quote. Now this would indicate that Eliab was similar in appearance to Saul. Since Saul was chosen as king the first time, then his replacement might just look like him. Verse 7. Quote, I have refused him, for the Lord seeth, not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Now, we're going to say something about this verse. Though this is true of the offices, duties, and jobs that every man is called to, when you're called to something, to do something in the church and for the Lord, God prepares that vessel. When David was out there in the fields with the sheep, he was preparing that young man. God looks on the heart when it comes to a task. He knows your abilities. He's in charge of training you for what He has in mind. And He knows your future. You don't. I know I don't. But He knows what's out there. And so trust the Lord. He's training you. So, the Lord looketh on the heart. Hebrews 4:13. Though this is true of all offices or duty that God chooses for men to serve in, underline it, this is not the basis of salvation. If God looked into the hearts of some and decided that some had better hearts than others or loved Him more than others, and then He awarded them salvation on that basis, He would be regarding merit in the heart of men. The fact is, we could never clean up our hearts enough to earn it. Ephesians, there's your memory verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible plainly teaches that salvation is by God's grace alone. Grace is unmerited, unearned favor. That means He looks at all of mankind, God looks at all of mankind, everybody who is born, and sees nothing but filthy sinners with desperately wicked hearts, every one of us, all deserving eternal death. All are dead in sin. And God, looking at the heart, sees the same fallen Adam in all. So I've heard this, I don't know how many times. God knows my heart. And because of that, He, you know, you go on and say, or this person goes on and says, and He saved me. But that's fine to say that under certain circumstances. If the man realizes in his heart that he is a no good sinner and is there repenting, then what he's saying is true. But if God knows my heart and I'm really sincere and all this, but there's no repentance, no turning away from sin and to God, then he's under the delusion that God knows his heart, that he's really a good guy, and that God is going to let him into heaven on that basis. That's wrong. I've met a lot of people like that. God knows my heart. I'm going to heaven. Okay, well, all were dead in sin, and God, looking at the heart, sees the same fallen Adam in all. It is only by His mercy that He saves any of us. And those are not according to any perceived, hidden, any foreseen that, you know, maybe someday he's going to be a good guy, any foreseen merit in the heart. Our salvation is not awarded to us because we will prize it more than anyone else. Or somebody else just may waste that salvation. But I wouldn't. Rather, it is a gift earned by Christ's merit alone, not ours, at any point. Undeserved by us from start to finish, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He starts it and He sees us through to the very end. Amen. That's where your Bible verse is. Verses 8 through 10. Jesse called for 7 sons to appear before Samuel, yet none of them were chosen. What a disappointment. Verse 11. Samuel asked, "Are here all thy children?" He said, "There yet remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep." Considered yet a child, David had no ambitions to be a king. This would probably make him an early teenager, maybe about 13. As he was faithful in some small, often some small job, lowly task, because he was faithful in little, he is called by God to higher service. In God's service, you don't start off at the top. You learn service. We had that very well covered this morning in the sermon. That was a beautiful sermon this morning. His arrival was so important that Samuel would have none sit to feast until he was brought. Verse 12. David appeared ruddy, which would indicate that he had red hair and consequently was of a light complexion. Now, some people may think that's my imagination, but if you look at chapter 17 of this book, verse 42, he was of a light complexion. Being that Christ was of the direct line of David, many artists have painted him in like nature. Now, there's a lot on television now where they're making the pictures and the depictions of Christ very dark. And I think this, I mean, that's possible, and I have nothing against that, except for the fact that I don't think we need to have any images of Christ because of the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments. So, but anyways, verse 13, Samuel anointed him king on the command of the Lord. David received of the Lord an enabling spirit that prepared him for his office. It is thought that Samuel was his tutor also in both language, law, as well as in music, since David only came from a family of shepherds. This education occurred between the time that he was anointed, which was at this time, until the time Saul called for him to his court. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The removal of God's Spirit meant that God was not going to be with him in his leadership. Now, Saul wanted to be enacted self-sufficient and self-willed, so the Lord left him to be such. Be careful what you ask for. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The evil spirit that the Lord sent troubled him by stirring up his guilty conscience. He had many things to repent of, yet Saul refused. This is what troubled him. The evil spirit from the Lord was really the spirit stirring up and bringing to his memory all the bad things he has done. And he got no rest. Now this Saul's, verse 15, 16. Saul's servants gave him worldly advice. A couple of different ways here, saying, "Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee." This could literally be translated as bad or evil air from the Lord. Now, back in the past in medicine, they thought there was such a thing as evil air, like germs traveling through the air and things like that. And, of course, that does. There is air-transmitted diseases and all this, but this is like an evil spirit being transmitted, how they expressed it, from God, as if this madness that fell upon Saul was transmitted through the air from God. Now, their advice was to soothe the evil. This is their worldly wisdom here. Their advice is not to repent and come clean with the Lord so you have peace in your heart and you can sleep at night. But no, they're going to put a Band-Aid over it. They're going to soothe the evil, the troubled conscience with beautiful music. Just don't even think about it. Okay, get your mind off of this. Don't worry about it. Just think of all that beautiful stuff out there. Instead of repenting before God and coming to rest in a Savior, just think about the music. Now, forgetting God one more time. Saul called for a skilled musician, somebody who knew music and could play well. It is said that Saul's advisors also at this time made a shield for the purpose of keeping away the evil spirit. This shield bore the five-pointed star that is now called the Star of David. Ever wonder where that came from? This became known as David's shield since he took it to battle for the kingdom. And there's reasons for the different directions. He is to reign upward in those directions, down in all directions. That is the reign of the kingdom. Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well. And the servants, all Saul's servants were young, of about David's age, who had an acquaintance with him. It was God who provided the man with the required musical skill. Verse 18. David was described now as a mighty man of war, which means that some time had passed between the anointing when he was but a youth watching the sheep. Verse 23, because preparation of the training gained from Samuel and the enabling of the Spirit of God, David became a useful minister to the king of the land. His stay in the king's court made him familiar with affairs of the state. All this was to combine to make him a king after God's own heart. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 shows our preparation for service. If you look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that is, we are to present our bodies a willing sacrifice to God. Now, lastly, this is the last thing before we close. This is something you don't have to answer here. If we had time, this would be discussion points. So you don't have to put your name on turning in. Oh, man. These will be discussion points. Just go over it. All the answers are in the lesson. So, I love that. Brother Bill, would you mind closing the lesson here with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight with humble, thankful heart. We just thank you, praise you. Lord, we just pray for him, Lord. I mean, this Bible study that we come to, Lord, by and Lord, I pray you just bless him, Lord, and help him, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that these words, Lord, we heard tonight, Lord, about David and Saul and the things you've done, Lord, it's all in your hands, Lord. You know all things, Lord. You know our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you use us, Lord, for your purpose, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Y'all go over your Bible memory verses. Hide them in your hearts. Thank you very much.